Hello and welcome to the hearing. I'm John. Scotto is off for 2 weeks. We won't be on next week, but we've got a special episode of the hearing this week with a special guest. This is Bree.
Hi.
I brought Bree on because she is a huge fan of this week's artist, who I am rapidly becoming a fan of, and that conveniently brings us to this week's album from 2022, not quite 2 weeks ago, Midnights by Taylor Swift, the 3 a.m. version. Taylor Swift is an American singer-songwriter from West Reading, Pennsylvania, who upon the release of her 2006 self-titled debut album, became the first female country singer to write or co-write a U.S. Platinum-certified album in its entirety. It's a hell of an accomplishment for a 17-year-old.
Yes.
Over the years, her music has gone on to encompass a number of additional genres. Midnights is her 10th studio album, inspired by 13 sleepless nights in Swift's life. It's a concept album about nocturnal contemplation. Musically, the album marks a bit of a departure for Swift. I thought it was more of a departure before I last night went through and skimmed her entire catalog. I didn't know she had done electronic stuff before.
Yeah, I mean, it's a little bit of a departure from her last previous album.
Oh, yeah, from the last two, certainly. But even with Lover and Reputation, I feel like this is a little darker, a little more serious.
Mm-hmm.
It also adds electronica, synth-pop, dream-pop, and chill-out music to the list of the genres that she's experimented with. Midnights was released on October 21st, 2022, by Republic Records, produced by Taylor Swift and Jack Antonoff, with additional production by Soundwave, Jahan Sweet, Keanu Beats, and Braxton Cook in different configurations on track 1, track 11, and track 18, and features Taylor Swift on vocals, Jack Antonoff on percussion, programming, synthesizers, background vocals, drums, mellotron, Wurlitzer organ, bass, electric guitar, piano, and acoustic guitar. So, primarily Jack, with a number of additional musicians. It's a pop album, so there's a long list of session players. If you want the list, go to Wikipedia. Reminder, I don't edit any songs into our reviews for copyright reasons, but on our blog at johnandscotto.com, you'll find links to Midnights on Spotify and YouTube, so you can follow along if you'd like. On to track 1, Lavender Haze. I like the groove on this one. It's got a nice, insistent kick at the beginning and in the pre-choruses. It's kind of very standard R&B, though. It's got some nice harmonies in the chorus. I like the way she slides up in the bridge on Chest and Desk. Both songs in the initial release with multiple producers are kind of iffy for me, this one and track 11.
Yeah, this one wasn't my favorite. Mm-hmm. I really like the second verse the most. I mean, it has strong lyrics, but it's a little bit too poppy for me, and I felt like it was a bit pretentious.
Yeah. We were chatting on Fanhouse when the album was released.
Yes. we were reviewing.
Actually, I'll get into the whole story. Around 11, I was, you know, scrolling through Twitter, and I saw, okay, Taylor Swift has a new album coming out. Interesting. And I saw a trailer for it, so I listened to it. You know, I had listened to Midnight, or to Red TV about a year ago, kind of liked it. So I listened to that. It was very electronic, which was, I'd heard Red TV, Folklore, and the most recent one at that, before this, Evermore. So electronic was not what I expected from Taylor Swift. So I thought, okay, that's interesting. I might have to check it out. And then, I think it was like 11:30, you had messaged me good night. I'm like, oh, you're not staying up for the release. You hadn't heard about anything about it. I'm like, Taylor Swift has a new album coming out tonight.
I know, you saved my life that night, because you totally reminded me.
But I remember when you first heard this one, you were like, oh, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, it made me hesitant about the whole album.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But this one, it definitely wasn't my favorite. I mean, I like every song on the album. There's not one that I dislike, but yeah, it's definitely not one of my favorites.
Mm-hmm. This one is honestly pretty skippable for me, but it's still not my pick for weakest. We'll get to that one. That's in the 3 a.m. section.
Okay.
Track 2, Maroon. Love the groove on this one. It's got some great synth bass, great verse melody. I love the line, your roommate's cheap as screwtop rosé.
Yeah, yes.
Great reverb on the snare. like the sliding synth after the chorus, nice sparse second verse, great harmonies in the second verse as well. The profanities caught me off guard, but I'm not complaining.
Yeah, she used a lot more profanity in this album than typically.
I mean, I'm from Jersey. Profanity is practically the state language here. But I was surprised that, like I mentioned, I was going through her catalog last night, and I noticed that the explicit tags started with folklore, which was right after the whole Scooter Braun thing.
Yes, yeah, it's definitely a rarity for her.
But they were pretty consistent after that one. All three albums have quite a few explicit tags. I feel like when that whole thing happened and she decided, fuck it, I'm just going to re-record everything, it freed her in a lot of ways.
Yes, absolutely.
And I get the feeling, particularly with this one, but also with Folklore and Evermore, because she kind of went back to her country roots with those. She's showing that she's an adult now.
Yes.
Because, she hasn't really been taken seriously by people outside of her fan base. And up until recently, honestly, up until Red TV, I heard Red TV. I will admit to being one of those people. I just hadn't heard enough of her work to really get my head around it and realize she is actually, well, A, remarkably talented. Even from the beginning, the consistency of her songwriting is amazing.
Yes, yeah, she's an absolutely incredible songwriter.
Her melodic sense, her rhythmic sense, the very specific way she uses words was there from the beginning. She certainly, matured and developed as a writer, but that was there from the beginning, which is rare. But what also, well, the reason I listened to Red TV is because I saw a bunch of people who I know who were massive fans and were like mid to late 20s, which surprised me because I didn't realize her fan base had aged up with her.
Definitely. I've grown up with her.
And just seeing the impact, people my age and older will balk at this, but like, I think she is just as important as a lot of the artists. The boomers venerate Zeppelin and Dylan, and my generation it was Kurt Cobain. I think Taylor's just as important to her generation as those artists were.
I completely agree. I mean, she's impacted me in a lot of ways. Her music has gotten me through some really difficult times.
So I'm coming around to seeing her not just as an extremely talented writer, but just as the massively important artist she is, and just as someone from an older generation wanted to make sure to say that, because my generation and boomers tend to really just not give her the credit she deserves.
Yeah, I love that you're becoming a Swiftie, John.
We'll get to the song that really made that turn for me. But before we get to there, track three, Antihero. This is the big single. Like the groove on this one, like the muddy kick. I relate to the song a lot, especially those first two lines. I have this thing where I get older, but just never wiser. Midnights become my afternoons. Like how the vocals overlap in the pre-chorus. That high harmony comes in with that extra line. Great harmonies at the end of the chorus. Great imagery in the second verse, talking about the monster.
Yes.
Love the line, did you hear my covert narcissism disguised as altruism like some kind of congressman?
Yeah, she uses so much imagery in this song, and I love that she really represents like the internal battle that she struggles with, which is something I really relate to.
The dream verse, I don't know if I got the dream about her daughter-in-law killing her. I don't quite see how it connected to the main point of the song, but it was fun.
No, I agree. It was fun, but I felt like it didn't really go. But I'm not hating.
Oh no. Also liked how she speaks the choruses after that, especially the high. I'm a sucker for a spoken vocal, so that was great.
Yes, absolutely. It's, yeah, I definitely get why it's the single of the album.
Track four, Snow on the Beach, featuring Lana Del Rey. Right there, that should give her a bit of cred for with Gen Xers, because we love Lana.
Yes, it's definitely a really good pairing.
Yeah. Like the slide up at the start of the verse melody, like the syncopation in the melody, great groove in the chorus, liked the line, and it's like snow on the beach, weird but fucking beautiful. As someone who grew up within walking distance of three beaches and in a state where it snows every winter, I definitely get that line.
Yeah, no, I really like this song. I think it's super pretty. It's a really simplistic love song, but I love it. I really love the lyric. I really love that lyric where she's this flying saucer, like the from another planet.
The octave harmonies at the end of the chorus were really nice. I think Lana is singing some of the high harmonies. She doesn't really have her own verse. She just kind of sings back up on it, which is unusual for a feature.
It is, but their voices pair really well together.
Oh yeah, beautifully. Like the pause after the last choruses and the plucked violins at the end. Track five, You're on Your Own, Kid. Nice, insistent groove. Nice to hear guitar, bass, and acoustic drums finally on the album. Like the chorus melody, the synth creeping in the second verse is nicely subtle, and the synth and the guitar kind of mirroring each other panned in the solo I liked.
Yeah, I thought this song was a bit repetitive. I like it, and I feel again it represents the, internal battle, the whole self-deprecating theme that kind of the whole album really has.
Last night after the review on YouTube, I saw a therapist talking about this particular song. Honestly, wasn't that interesting. She was just kind of interpreting the lyrics. I would have preferred to see her talk about Antihero personally, but she mentioned that track five on Taylor's albums is kind of important. Is that a thing among Swifties?
Track five, you're on your own, kid.
Oh no, the fifth track on all of her albums is kind of a big deal, this person was saying.
Oh,
Maybe.
that's something.
Never heard it
No,
before? Okay.
I've never heard that
That
before.
must just be for her. All of her favorites happen to be the fifth track. Interesting. Track six, Midnight Rain. Love the detuned vocal in the second part of the chorus and at the very beginning. That's a great hook.
I love this song.
Love the atonal synths in the verse. The chord changes are really only suggested by the bass and the vocal in most cases, which is a really interesting approach. Love how sparse the first chorus is, great harmonies in the verse. Love the line, "He wanted it comfortable, I wanted back pain."
Yes. I absolutely love this song. It's one of my overall favorites for sure.
She was willing to put some work into the relationship. He just wanted to lay back and for it to be just mindless. Also, love the line, "He never thinks about me except when I'm on TV." Track seven, Question. Nice groove, nice sparse arrangement, great harmonies in the chorus. Like the low vocal in the second verse, if she's singing fairly high up until that second verse comes in, she drops down an octave. Very nice surprise. Love the drum part in the second chorus. Nice use of vocoder in the bridge. It gives it a nice robotic feel. A vocoder is a synthesizer with a mic hooked up to it. You speak into the mic and play, and it uses the sound of your voice to shape the sound of the synthesizer. So, like, the synthesizer is singing whatever you speak. Also, like, the slides up into the sides in the bridge.
I like this song. It's fun. I feel like the lyrics are all over the place, though. There's not really any direct message. She's just asking random questions throughout the song.
Right. Track eight, Vigilante Shit. This is my favorite. This is the one where I said I'm a Swiftie.
Yes, it gives major bad reputation vibes.
And I was noticing, at least on the recent albums, there's usually one or two that she wrote on her own. This is the one she wrote on her own without help from Jack.
She chose violence with this song.
It opens with, "Draw the cat eyes sharp enough to kill a man."
Philomena, yes.
And that first line is just, that just grabs you by the throat. Love that. Love how sparse it is. Great synth bass, amazing groove, great clicky snare, some more great vocoder. The chorus, "I don't dress for women, I don't dress for men. Lately I've been dressing for revenge." I just like how she handles that age-old, "Which sex do you dress for?"
Right. I love the little story she tells in the second verse, which is like she needed cold hard proof, so I gave her some. I love that part.
Also, I don't start shit, but I can tell you how it ends.
Yes.
Such great aggressive lyrics, which this was the last thing I expected from Taylor Swift.
Right. Yeah, I wasn't expecting either. It definitely stands out.
And it's an angry song, but it production-wise, in writing, it's just sparse and slick, which was such a great touch. She didn't go like all loud rock to be angry. It was just low-key and just seething.
Yes.
Love that mid-range synth that doubles the bass. Love all of the little fiddly synth bits. Love how the bridge is almost a cappella. Like there's a little bit of percussion, but it's mostly just voice. And that whole last verse, while he was doing lines and crossing all of mine, someone told his white collar crimes to the FBI. Track 9, Bejeweled. Love the blinky synth in the beginning. Nice groove. Again, love the bass synth. Like the arpeggios in the chorus. Nice break after the first chorus. It's got a very 80s feel, which I like.
I absolutely love this song.
Like the line, I miss you, but I miss sparkling. Like, I could choose between you or really being myself, and I'm choosing me.
I feel like this song is such a contrast because, like I said previously, the whole album is a little self-deprecating, but this one she really owns confidence. It's beautiful and it's full of like wonder and magic. I love this song.
And it's got a nice sparse bridge.
Yeah, I love the lyric where she says, "Don't put me in the basement when I want the penthouse of your heart."
Track 10, Labyrinth. Love the soft in the beginning. Reminds me of the title track on the first album that Jack did with St. Vincent. Your favorite artist and my favorite artist share a producer. Jack works with St. Vincent and Taylor. That reminds me of the little chant at the beginning of Mass Seduction. This one's got a great soft vocal. Like the light synths in the verse, the pre-chorus melody is just chilling. She sounds amazing, doubled, basically singing the same part in the same octave, but just two vocals. It just gives it a bigger feel. Sounds amazing.
Absolutely. Like
Great ethereal break after the first chorus. Sounds kind of church-like. I love the line, it only feels raw right now. I'm actually saying that, I'm getting a little choked up.
Oh, yeah, it has really like beautiful, heartbreaking lyrics. Like, I feel like it's a really relatable breakup song.
And just that line, I mean, for me, not in so much relationships, just in general, when something happens, it only feels raw right now, just hits me. Well,
Absolutely.
also loved, you know how much I hate that everyone just expects me to bounce right back.
Yes.
There's more great detuned vocals. Taylor detuned sounds a bit like Cher.
You think so?
Like, particularly caught me on Midnight Rain. She sounds a bit like Cher an octave down. It was interesting. Track 11, Karma. Liked the sort of radio noise in the beginning. Great detuned synths, great groove. Love the high vocal in the chorus. Didn't like the chorus at first, but it's growing on me. I think it was the way she kind of slides a little sharp at the end of each line. Just kind of put my back up a little bit. But I like the harmonies in the second chorus, like the harmonies going up at the end of the bridge. Track 12, Sweet Nothing. Love the electric piano. I always love an electric piano. Like the nice childlike melody. The vocal groove is really nice in the first chorus. Love how simple this one is. Like they could have added percussion on the second verse and just kind of given it a lift, but they chose not to.
I agree. I think it's very simplistic. It's a very just like cute, sentimental love song.
There's a nice brief synth brass in the second verse. Just really love this one. It was close to my favorite. Track 13, the last track on the main release. Mastermind. Love the arpeggiated synth in the bridge. Arpeggiated synth means just it plays like one note of a chord sequentially.
She really villainizes herself in this song. I mean, on surface level, it's a, pretty song or whatever, but there's a lot of dark layers to this song.
I have this note at the end, but I'll jump forward. Loved the line, and I swear I'm only cryptic and Machiavellian because I care.
Yes. It's very intense.
In this case, I kind of feel like it was almost about somebody else who was feeling this, who was thinking about themselves this way.
And she was just like speaking it for them.
I feel like she's, mocking somebody else with this one and saying that's who they think they are.
Interesting.
because Machiavellian particularly, most people won't admit that they're Machiavellian if they are Machiavellian. So that
Right.
definitely gives me the feel like she's talking about an ex, maybe. Something like anti-hero, she's clearly talking about herself, but this almost feels like it's pointed at someone else.
Yeah.
Love it when she speaks the vocals. Great harmonies in the chorus. Love all of the synth bass in the chorus. On to the 3 a.m. songs. Just to explain that, the original album was dropped at midnight, and then at 3 a.m. she dropped seven additional songs.
Which took me by surprise.
I was sleeping.
Yeah, well, we were previously discussing it. I had no idea about the extra tracks.
Next day, she you mentioned, did you hear the additional songs? I'm like, what? I looked it up and like, oh wow, more songs.
Yeah.
Track 14, The Great War. Love how this one has a nice sudden start. Love all the glitchy percussion. Love the line, "My knuckles were bruised like violets, sucker punching walls to curse you as I sleep talked."
Yeah, I think the song's really like reminiscent of traditional Taylor Swift.
Yeah. There's a few on here that do sound a lot like her older stuff. Also, the line, "Spineless in my tomb of silence." Love that line.
Yes. Yeah, and she talks about poppies a lot during the song too, like using that as a metaphor for like death and rebirth and stuff. I thought that was really beautiful.
Love the chorus melody in the groove. Great melodies in the second pre-chorus as well. On to track 15, Bigger Than the Whole Sky. Another favorite of mine.
Oh, it's so beautiful.
Love the stark opening. That opening reminds me of a song called Forever Young by Alphaville. It's just this really kind of quiet synth and a vocal. And great line, "Every single thing I touch becomes sick with sadness."
Very
I have a very distinct emo side. Not emo in terms of
relatable.
the genre, but just,
Emotional.
emotional and kind of, despairing. So lines like that just hit me. Like the chorus melody, love the synth bass in the chorus. Nice mix of acoustic guitar and synth. That got really interesting. Same with the acoustic and electric percussion. "Every single thing to come has turned into ashes." Another line that just hits my emo side. I've been very positive with this review. I have to be a little critical here. The line, "You were more than just a short time." As a songwriter myself and a poet, that feels like a line that was put in there as a placeholder, like it'll work for now.
Yeah, like a little lazy.
And I'll think of something better. And she just never got around to thinking of something better.
Yeah, I get what you're saying.
One line in a great song. It's not much of a criticism.
Yeah, the lyrics of the song are definitely more emotionally charged and heavier. I think it's a really beautiful song.
Track 16, Paris. This is my pick for weakest. I like the build in the beginning. Another one that reminds me of her older stuff. It's just kind of simple.
And all over the place. Yeah, it's, I would definitely say it's the weakest too. It's fun. It's poppy, but it doesn't flow organically for me.
Now that I've, skimmed through Lover and Reputation, I feel like she was just kind of going back to that sound, trying to kind of bring that back, kind of unnecessarily. This one seems like it should have been cut out. There's a couple 3 a.m. songs that kind of feel like they weren't good enough to make it onto the album, but she decided to put them out anyway.
Right, they really weren't good enough in general.
Track 17, High Infidelity, like the blippy synth in the beginning. The piano contrasts it very nicely. Nice groove and melody in the chorus. I like how raw her voice is at the end of the first chorus. Love the line, "You know there's many different ways that you can kill the ones you love. The slowest way is never loving them enough."
Yes.
This one's definitely grown on me. Nice mix of acoustic and electric again. "High Infidelity, put on your records and regret meeting me." Love that one.
Yeah, there's really good lyrics in the song. I feel a little indifferent about this song, but I do like it.
It's grown on me.
Yeah.
When I first heard it, it was kind of down there with Paris, to be honest. But it has certainly gotten better, in my opinion, as has this entire album. I'd listened to a few songs here and there, but I hadn't listened to the whole album since the night it was released. And when I finally got around to reviewing it, I liked it even more than I did the first time.
I agree. I mean, I think there's things that are special about each song, so it definitely takes a couple listens.
Track 18, Glitch. Great glitchy synths and guitar in the opening. I can see where they, you know, got the name from, in addition to the lyrics. Great synth bass. Love the rain sound effect throughout the verse. Great groove in the chorus. Great harmonies in the chorus. Love the panned background vocals. Loved the little bit of off-key vocal on "And That's Romance" in the bridge. And the quick little bass lick at the end. You get some real bass and they show off a little bit.
She was very experimental with this song, for
sure. Yeah. 19, Would Have, Could Have, Should Have. Great rocky guitar and synth riff in the verse. Nice heavy percussion. Great timing change going into the pre-chorus. There's some nice instability there, which is unusual for a pop song. You know, the timing gets interesting. It's something you don't normally hear in pop. Chorus and bridge go a bit country for me. I think this one will grow on me, but I'm not a fan of country music, so it leans a little too close for me. But I do like the line, "Memories feel like weapons."
Mm-hmm. I like this song. I feel like I have to be in a certain mood to listen to it.
And I like the pickup in the second verse. Mm-hmm. And finally, Dear Reader, I feel like this one should have ended the main album.
I said the exact same thing. I love this song. I think it should have made Midnights.
And it should have. This was a great closer that should have, you know, made the main album as the closing song.
Yes.
Great opening synths. I love the line, "If it feels like a trap, you're already in one." Just the general mood on this one's great. Great sparse arrangement of the line, "And if you don't recognize yourself, that means you did it right." Again, you can hear my voice. I'm getting a little emotional on that. Never take advice from someone who's falling apart. I gotta take a little issue with that one because I've always been much better at running other people's lives.
Yeah, she kind of takes an unreliable narrator perspective for this
a little
song.
Bit, yeah. Love the snap and synth mix in the chorus. "No one sees you lose when you're playing solitaire." Another great line. And just a lot of nice detuned vocals.
Mm-hmm, yeah, this song definitely closed everything out beautifully, but I agree, it should have closed out the
main release. So I think it's safe to say we both recommend it.
Absolutely. It's beautiful. I mean, it didn't speak to me in the same way that her Folklore album did, but I definitely love this album and it's growing on me for sure.
And like I was mentioning before, I feel like this is her really declaring that I'm an adult.
Yes.
Because even even Folklore and Evermore are a little bit, and particularly because they resemble her early stuff, can feel a little twee. This one was clearly, like, she came in and said, you know, "I don't want this to sound childish in the slightest. I want this to sound like an adult." I'm, yes. You know, 33, 32 at this point. It's time to be taken seriously. And Jack was like, "Okay, yeah, I can do that."
Yeah, absolutely. She definitely made a splash with this one.
So thank you for joining me, Brie. Anything you'd like to plug?
Yeah, absolutely. If anybody is interested in getting to know me a little bit better, you can find me on FanHouse. It's fanhouse.app/girlwithswantattoo94_.
The link will be in the show notes.
That's the best place to get to know me for sure.
And that's it for Midnights until 2 weeks from now when Scott will be back and we'll be revealing Shields by Grizzly Bear. Always remember, never forget, wherever you go in life, there you are.